This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show, Monday afternoon, 2 to 6 here on The Fan. Weekdays, 2 to 6. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Here today, 414-799-1250, live at 105.7 FM, thefan.com. The Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen inbox. Stevie, good weekend. Brewers finally find themselves back into their winning ways. And tonight, maybe Tausch gets himself some money. But I already have it basically spent, so it is what it is.
You get some money from what?
From Giannis Antetokounmpo. Tonight should be the night that we pay out the 5-1, as people might not remember, the NBA regular season ended on April 10th. Notable things that happened since April 10th. Multiple championships have been won. Christian Yelich has hit 24 home runs. And now we're finally going to know who the MVP of the NBA was this year.
Stupid.
And the coach of the year.
That's stupid.
And Chris Middleton up for 3 awards tonight.
That's good.
Good for Chris Middleton.
Yeah. I get wanting to do the TV show and all of that, and that makes all the sense in the world. And you want to wait till the postseason gets done in order to get everybody there for the show, because otherwise there'll be players not being able to be there because they're in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it after the draft, that seems a little crazy to me. Like, you've already drafted the players for next year, and you still haven't wrapped up officially this year yet.
And players are opting out of their contracts, and they'll be announced.
Right.
If Kawhi Leonard were to have won the MVP tonight, it would be Kawhi Leonard, formerly of the Toronto Raptors.
That's how they have to say it, I would assume. Right? Because technically he's a free agent.
Yeah, right now he's a free agent. So,
but, I mean, they'll still call him a Raptor.
It's outstanding.
For the Raptors all
outstanding
year.
Stuff. So the NBA, once again, Adam Silver will get glorified as the best commissioner in all sports. Maybe not so much, but their awards show comes up tonight. We'll get into that a little bit later on here in the 2 o'clock hour. And know if it's must-see TV for you, because we're a little bit soiled on it, but it also could be for how the season ended. Cody Bellinger had an interesting weekend. I'll tell you a little bit about that. I think Stevie was at Wrigley Field yesterday and didn't tell anybody about it because there was a little scuffle that went down in the Mets clubhouse. Get you an update on that. But Sparky, we start here with the Milwaukee Brewers, who find themselves back in the win column, splitting against the Cincinnati Reds, who are only 4 games under 500, by the way, 5.5 games out of first place in the NL Central. And the Brewers sit with a half game trailing behind the Chicago Cubs as they finally get themselves back off the schneid. But where do you need them to be? You personally, believing that they can achieve the goals that you had set out for them in the beginning of the year, where you expected them to finish, where do you need to see the Brewers at the All-Star break?
Status quo is fine. I mean, I'll just be within 2 or 3 games of first place, one way or the other. I mean, I'm fine with that. If you're 2-3 games out at the All-Star break of this division lead with the Cubs, you're more than within striking distance a couple weeks to go before the trade deadline. That's pretty much where you want to be. Now, again, if you're closer than that or you actually have first place over the Cubs at that point, even better, right? Even better, no problem. You do not want to be sitting like 6 games back or something, which I don't think
right.
is possible, but you don't want to be sitting like 6 games back at the All-Star break, because then you're going to be in territory where David Stearns may decide, I'm not going to trade for anybody. I may just stand pat or sell one or two of you guys off of this major league roster and try and up our farm system a little bit here. But I think, you know, realistically, if they're 2-3 games back of first place at the All-Star break, I think I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
So for you, it's a number in the standing. It's not necessarily a number of how many games over 500 they need to be, who's on the roster,
nope.
what the starting infield is. Because right now, a lot of people seem to like where Craig Counsell is shifting the lineup in the last 2 days. Pitcher batting eighth, and he has Monty Grandal up at the top of the lineup, and Christian Yelich having some people on base for him.
Yeah, it's cute for a couple games. It's not going to last. We're not doing this the rest of the year. Come on, be serious. He has fought tooth and nail not to bat the pitcher eighth this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It's been brought up to him a million times by Tim Allen alone,
mm-hmm.
Not to mention anybody else that may have brought it up along the way. So to think he's going to roll the pitcher eighth the remainder of the year, I guess I find that hard to believe. And to think that Grandal, of all people, is going to lead off the rest of the year, I think I find that hard to believe. Now, having said that, we've seen weird things happen in the past. Schwarber has left off for the Cubs. I mean, you've seen a lot of goofy, weird things. As far as leadoff hitters go, as you know, traditions have been broken. It's no longer the quick, fast guy in the leadoff spot. Now it's, you know, the guy with the big on-base percentage and so forth leading off. Doesn't have to be all that fast. And Grandal obviously fits that mold to a certain degree. And changing the lineup up and getting Lorenzo Cain out of there in the first inning. Now, I don't think I agree with him being in the cleanup spot either. But getting him out of there and down in the lineup, as long as he's cool with it and not freaking out, that's fine. And then it's a smart move. Grandal, the first game, leads off with a home run in that game to make you feel like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two pitches in.
Good hunch. Let's see if he does it the next day. And then he does it the next day. And now you're like, okay, well, how long are we going to play with this? I'm assuming you're going to play with this until you lose a couple games. And
sure,
then you'll revert back to a more of a normal lineup.
Well, and I was down there on Saturday when Counts announced the multitude of changes. Not only the lineup change, but he also told everybody that Jimmy Nelson's going to find himself in the bullpen now.
Stupid.
That he should be available coming on Tuesday.
Beyond dumb.
You don't like that idea at all.
Hate it with all everything in my fiber.
Really?
Dumb.
Okay. All right. I kind of like it. I kind of enjoy it. I think that you enjoy it.
So let's take a quarterback
and let him.
Let's take a quarterback
around
and put him at tight end. See
sure
how he does.
Yeah.
See if he fits in at tight end and
run
figures it out.
A tight end option passes.
And then
swing him out to the right.
If a quarterback gets
send him in motion.
If a quarterback gets hurt, then we'll pull him back from tight end and let him go play quarterback again.
A little dual threat athlete.
It's beyond dumb. I mean, he's been a starter his entire career. Minor leagues, he's been a starter. He's been a starter in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is what I think, he won't go down to AAA because he can refuse it. Now you're stuck having to put him in a bullpen where he has no business being. He has zero business being in the bullpen. He has every business of either being in this rotation like they have been and giving him a chance or putting him down in AAA one way or the other. Am I a big fan of Corbin Burns going to AAA? No. Do I understand it? Sure. Do I agree with how they're going to go about using him in AAA? No. Hate that too. Don't like the fact of, oh, we may start him, but he's only going to pitch two innings. They're only going to pitch him two innings.
They
though,
are so lukewarm on Corbin Burns.
We want to make sure. Listen, you want to know who you should be lukewarm on? Chris Long. That's who you should be lukewarm on at this point. You got all kinds of guys not playing mm-hmm. well. Not just one or two. All kinds of guys that aren't pitching well at this point. That should be the guy who should be on the hot seat right now. He's not going to be because we don't get rid of coaches midseason in this organization with Craig Counsell. And that's fine. So we're going to play this out and say, you know, it's everybody else's fault but his. And that, so be it. Because the one thing I've learned over the course of time in baseball is it's the position coach only gets fired as a last resort. That's when there's looking to be a scapegoat and the heat's coming from the media and the heat's coming from the fans, then, okay, fine, we'll appease you, we'll get rid of the position.
Totally, yep.
We'll get rid of the coach then, but until that point, we really don't think he really has all that much to do with anything, good or bad. But he's there to kind of help us out and maybe help a player or
the
two.
Mets just showed you doing that with Mickey Callaway when everyone's calling for his job. They fire the pitching coach and bring in an 82-year-old Phil Regan.
Well, after what happened with the reporter over the weekend, he should be fired.
Who I still think that was you, by the way. Are you sure you weren't down at Wrigley Field?
I saw it. And
you didn't get in Jason Vargas' face.
I would cut Jason Vargas and I would fire the manager.
I would definitely fire Mickey Callaway.
Yep.
Jason Vargas, sit down and shut your mouth. But
see ya.
Good stuff.
Don't need
Great
Jason Vargas.
Stuff.
Mets suck. You don't need him. Bye.
Mets don't need a whole lot of players.
No, you don't. I mean, just don't. You can't have players charging reporters and all that crazy crap. You crazy.
And reporters yelling. See, now this is where I thought it could have been you.
See you tomorrow, Mickey.
See you tomorrow,
this
Mickey.
This dude going crazy. Well, you know what? You can go home and relax, and you don't have to worry about anybody telling you to see you tomorrow outside of your family members if they want to talk to you at this point.
Struck the nerve, didn't I?
I
got the vein going already on Stevie. It's 210. Good stuff.
To this point, really, I haven't been really mad at the Brewers for any one specific thing. Frustrated about the Hira thing. Not happy about the Hira thing. But this Jimmy Nelson thing, this is just absolutely...
That's got you very fired up.
It's just stupid. He wants to play me guy and doesn't want to go down to AAA. Now, they didn't say that.
Nobody's
the Brewers
confirmed
didn't say
or
that.
Reported that, right. but have reported that you can after 5 years.
Okay,
by you not declining that
mm-hmm. when somebody asks you, and you go, "No, that didn't happen," and you go, "Well, you know, he has the option." Blah blah blah. Meaning, okay, he probably did. Okay, fine. So be a me guy. So now go be a me guy and go be the human victory cigar in the bullpen, because that's the only chance I'm pitching him out of the bullpen. When the game's over, you can come in and pitch.
Yeah, he's a total long man right now.
Unless that happens, mm-hmm. you're not pitching. You can warm up in the bullpen and work on your stuff until that point. And Corbin Burnes, with all due respect, you don't have enough guys right now. So you're going back down there and you're going to figure out how to be a starter again. That's just how this is going to be. And me as general manager have to figure out how I'm going to fix this bullpen through trade or whatever and try and get some arms in here that I can count on versus having to use starters as relievers, because that has not worked so far this year.
So you just said that for you to feel good about the Milwaukee Brewers by the All-Star break, status quo is cool. Right now, you just brought up a whole lot of things in the organization that you seem to want change if they're going to be able to get this thing done.
But that's just not, I mean, I'm being me.
Okay.
So we all know that they aren't me. And they don't react like I react, and they do stuff their own way, which is fine. And I completely accepted that, but I'm just telling you what my opinion is on how everything has been handled. It's just, it's absolute lunacy. And then we haven't even brought up Keston Hira yet. That hasn't come up. Travis Shaw hits a home run. Now I'm supposed to feel good. Oh,
465 feet, longest in the team this year.
Oh, it's fixed now. Travis Shaw's rolling.
Oh, yeah, he's going to start rolling. Probably hit like 400 to the All-Star break.
Yep, we'll have the 4th of July parade, and then we'll have the Travis Shaw parade on July 5th.
A fired up Steve Sparky Pfeiffer asking you, where do you need the Brewers to be by the All-Star break for you to feel good about where you believe they should finish? Sparky says status quo is cool, but the team right now, the decision-making, not so much. Not so much cool with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Nope.
I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tosh. You join the Wendy's Big Show next at 414-799-1250. We got your chance at Summerfest tickets. We'll unveil this after the break. It's going to be a part of our Twitter contest later on today at 105.7 FM The Fan. That's where you react with us on Twitter, live at 105.7 FM The Fan. The Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen inbox, 414-799-1250. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Baby Tausch, Wendy's Big Show on a Monday. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Baby Tausch with you till 6 o'clock here on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. We'll talk baseball with Seth Everett coming up about 3:48. Got a chance for you to win Summerfest tickets using the hashtag Big Show Tickets at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Sparky, this weekend, Albert Pujols returned to St. Louis. Rival of the Milwaukee Brewers, the St. Louis Cardinals. Obviously, nobody in the city of Milwaukee has a whole lot of love lost for the St. Louis Cardinals and what they've cost the Brewers here in recent memory. In 2011, knocking them out of the NLCS, going on to win a World Series. Obviously, 1982, they beat the Brewers in the World Series. And Albert Pujols, for my entire lifetime, was the villain. I mean, that dude was the machine. They called him the machine for a reason. He just hitting bombs left and right for the St. Louis Cardinals against the Brewers, but he was such a good dude and such a good baseball player that I always found it hard to hate him because he was so good. And then this weekend when he returns to St. Louis, they give him standing ovation after standing ovation. He hits a home run, and they give him a curtain call. And it was like his last song, swan song, in St. Louis at Busch Stadium, as he'll probably retire at the end of this contract, albeit hope so, as Albert Pujols is production has declined. But it has me asking four people on Twitter at 105.7 FM The Fan, use the hashtag Big Show Tickets. Who was your former rival of a team that you cheered for that was so good you couldn't hate him? Who was that for you, Stevie?
So good you couldn't hate him.
You just couldn't hate him. You enjoyed watching them play because they were so good, even though they just killed your team.
I don't have one.
Not one.
Hated Michael Jordan. I'd say that's pretty much the best player I've ever seen play against any of my favorite teams.
Yeah, that's about it.
So, I don't think
not
I had
even
one.
Like Brian Urlacher, you respected the way he played the game, even though he just
scored maybe
touchdowns.
No, screw Brian Urlacher. no, I think the only one off the top of my brain that I can come up with, and mainly because they were okay at times, but they were never really a threat to anything. And he was a stud. Barry Sanders, probably.
Okay, so that's a good one.
That might be the guy for me. Maybe Barry Sanders. Yeah,
kind of like a little brother, where you see him have success, and you're like, damn, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, he was just... He was an arcade game. I mean, he really was. I mean, the way he was able to make people miss and run around 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage and still break it for 30 yards after that, that dude was simply amazing. I've seen Walter Payton. I've seen Bo Jackson.
Yeah, I would have hated Walter Payton.
All those guys, and they were all different in how good they were, mm-hmm. differing degrees. But Barry Sanders, whew, he was really good.
Mine was Albert Pujols. I saw him this weekend say goodbye to the St. Louis fans. And as much as I don't really care for St. Louis Cardinal fans because they like to tell you that they're the best fans in all of baseball, it was cool to see them honor Pujols like they did this weekend. So use the hashtag Big Show Tickets at 105.7 FM The Fan and respond to that. Out of former rivals of your favorite teams, who was so good that you just couldn't hate him? And we'll pick one at random Sheesh. Out of those entries for a pair of Summerfest tickets.
Dude, his numbers.
Stupid. Insane.
Been horrible since when Ryan Braun went down and got mm-hmm. nailed in 2013, and then you look at Albert Pujols from 2013 on, 258, 272, 244, 268, 241, 245, 237. And I know, well, what about on base percentages? Okay. 330, 324, nope. 307, 323, 286, mm-hmm. 289, 309. Brutal. From 2013 on. Now, grant you, he was 33 in 2013 when this started. He had a huge power year in 2015, age 35, where he had 40 home runs.
And I believe that was when he hit his 500th home run or just before it.
Somewhere in that area, probably, yeah.
So he's on his way to Cooperstown, but yeah, he's going to be 41 by the time that contract ends up at $270 million. Goodness gracious.
Since 2013, he's been an All-Star once. That was the only year.
Yeah, that's not $27 million a year well spent. But it works out. Good for Albert Pujols. Good for Albert Pujols. Where do you need the Brewers to be by the All-Star break to feel good? 414-799-1250. For me, Sparky, I want to see the team settle down a couple of the question marks that you brought up in the last segment. Jimmy Nelson, to me, I really understand Craig Counsell's thought process, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, trying to get Jimmy into somewhat of an uncomfortable role where he's become
Wouldn't
such
that be starter?
He's become such a creature of habit, being a starting pitcher, left and right. And Jimmy is as detail-oriented in his schedule
Let me ask you a question.
As possible.
Were you uncomfortable watching him miss the strike zone over and over and over again?
Yeah.
Do you think he was uncomfortable watching himself miss the strike zone over and over again?
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah, so because now he doesn't get to eat 3 hot dogs before a start and do 6 jump ropes and this and that and every other thing, like,
yep.
Other thing, that's going to fix him. Okay, so then you're going to go to this other way of doing things when he's in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going to happen? He's going to create his whole new regimen for his bullpen. And then when it goes back to starting again, he's going to go back and do the regimen that he was doing before
sure.
when he was starting. I don't...
But to an extent, he doesn't know any better at this moment than to go out and just pitch. During the last 3 opportunities that he's been on the mound, in the last 3 starts, there were times in every one of those starts where you could see Jimmy a lot, like letting the pressure get to him in a point of where he was aiming the ball. He was looking and trying to pick this corner and that corner and not allow the players behind him to make plays. And that's when Counts runs out to him and says, dude, we need to get going here. You need to throw us some strikes. Moose is back here taking his glove off after each and every pitch because he knows you're not going to throw one in the zone. Go out there and compete. So at this point, you have the short burst. You have 2 to 3 innings, maybe. You go out there and get the job done. Go out there and pitch the way you know how to pitch.
Yeah.
It's the same game you've always played.
Right. And now you're going to take one of your most reliable relievers, an Adrian Hauser, and you're going to run him out there.
Now that I don't.
So let me see if I got this right. So you've decided that the best way to go about this is, because I'm telling you, I'm convinced he won't go to AAA, is to take Jimmy Nelson, put him in the bullpen, and take one of the more reliable guys you actually have out there, not named Junior Guerra or Josh Hader, and move him into the damn rotation.
Yeah, your most reliable right-handed reliever, Adrian Hauser, goes out of the bullpen and goes into the rotation. I talked to Adrian on Saturday and kind of asked him where he was in maneuvering back and forth in between, and he kind of brushed off the question, and nobody knew at that point that he was going into the rotation. I was thinking, hey, man, they just showcased you being able to throw 3 innings in San Diego
3 1/3,
at any point when Counts needs you. You're becoming maybe the right-handed Hater of last year.
Or they knew.
He's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just going out there and pitching whatever they let me know. So in that sense, I think he might have known as well.
Yeah, I think they all knew what was going on. and that's fine. But my question is, do you think Jimmy Nelson is going to be as reliable as Hauser was in the bullpen?
Not right away.
Because that's the flop.
I believe after the All-Star break, if he buys into the role, he can be. He can be the most dominant right-handed reliever they have in the bullpen.
Okay.
Even better than your boy, Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, all right. Well,
now, Freddy Peralta, I thought that would have, that it was set up lock and key for Freddy Peralta to take that start.
No.
Now, maybe that's where Adrian Hauser comes in and opens it for Freddy Peralta, but he's been brutal. But they've been so so dependent and hell-bent on giving him that opportunity to start and bumping Corbin Burns all around and giving him the Taylor Youngman treatment.
Both of those guys should just go down to AAA and figure out how to start again. Both of them. Just put them down there and tell them to figure out how to start. And go make a trade, minor trade or two, and get some veteran arms in here that can help. I mean, seriously, I don't know what's the point of doing what they're doing this way. I mean, they're just grasping at straws now, hoping something sticks. That's really all it is, right? Throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. That's what this feels like with this pitching job. They literally have no answers. So now they're randomly just trying different crap and hoping it works. That's where they're at as an organization with their pitching. And it's sad. It really is. And then your offense hasn't done jack. So now your offense finally picks it up here a little. In Gio Gonzalez, do we have any idea of when he's back?
Possibly before the All-Star break. He's going to throw a simulated game tomorrow. About three innings of a simulated game coming up tomorrow at Miller Park, and then possibly before the All-Star break, but definitely after the All-Star break, Gio Gonzalez will be ready to go.
Do me a favor. You got a piece of paper right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Turn it over. Okay. Write down for me the starting five coming out of the break in order for the Milwaukee Brewers for their rotation. 1 through 5. Baby Tosh is manager Craig Counsell and general manager David Stearns, they've sat down during the All-Star break and they're figuring out, okay, what's going to be our starting five coming out of the break that we're going to use leading up to the trade deadline. Who are the five guys? Gio Gonzalez will be healthy by that point, so he'll be ready to go. Chacin is healthy and is back. Not very good, but he is back. Burns is gone. Peralta's in the bullpen. So what do we got? What are those five? You're not feeling so well, are you? I mean, you're sweating already normal.
No, I don't really like it as much as I thought I would.
Okay, so what do we got?
It lines up. Brandon Woodruff
is number one.
Clear
cut, not even a doubt, right?
Guy. And then I'm going to space out the dominance is how I wanted to do this.
There is no other dominance pitcher after him.
So it'd be Chase Anderson as well in the starting rotation. That's where it gets a little dicey.
That's where it gets a little dicey.
I'd like a better opportunity than Chase Anderson, but you do owe him $12 million bucks. So I think you kind of got to let him go.
If you have a good rotation, Chase Anderson is 4 or 5.
Gio Gonzalez is in there.
These three.
Break up the right-handers. And then Zach Davies comes
it's
in
four.
At 4. And then Yelich Cien wraps it out at 5.
That's not winning you jack crap.
It could get you in a wild card, though. It should. It should get you to the All-Star or to the trade deadline when I do believe the organization is going to acquire some starting pitching. I really believe the organization knows they need to get some starting pitching. Right? They have to know.
How many?
Probably two.
Yeah.
Probably two.
So there's just no way.
Yeah, probably two.
You know, the more I think about this
probably
and the more
two.
We talk about this, the more I'm doubting whether or not this team is going to do anything. Did you see what you just wrote down?
Yeah. Brandon Woodruff, Chase Anderson, Gio Gonzalez, Yelich Cien, and Zach Davies.
I'm really, really starting to doubt whether or not they have enough to get anything done. Because one starter is not going to be enough. One reliever is definitely not going to be enough. I mean, they damn near need two starters and two relievers in order for me to feel, and guys that produce, not just bodies that come in there and are good for a week and then blow up. Right, I'm not asking for two Claudios.
Right.
So they got to be consistent guys.
Back of the bullpen guys, like an Anthony Swarzak.
Sure. Yeah, the White Sox guy they got last year, too, was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But
Joaquin Soria.
Yes, fine.
And they could do deals with the White Sox, too. Alex Colome is probably going to be one of the top relievers on the market closing out games for the White Sox right now.
I don't feel very good about this team anymore. After 27 minutes of talking about this, 28 minutes of talking about this, I no longer feel good about the Milwaukee Brewers.
There's a lot more to digest where you think of where they need to be by the All-Star break right where you want to be.
They need too much. And if you're talking about competing against the Dodgers for a World Series, they're nowhere close talent-wise. They're not close, baby Tausch.
But they can win a 7-game series.
With who?
With
go over
production from within.
Okay,
production
David Stearns.
From within.
Yeah, well, you
yes.
better hope that Burns
production
and Peralta
from within.
Learn
yeah.
how to pitch in the second
Damn
half
right.
and live up to expectations that we had for him before the season, because if those mm-hmm. two guys don't figure it out.
I need Alex Claudio to be better.
Stop.
Maybe Alex Wilson for another shot.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's got a 2.3 ERA down at AAA. Yeah. Alex Wilson might need another opportunity to come up here.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get it.
Maybe Bryce Terang becomes a starting pitcher. I really like Bryce Terang. See ya. Bye. Wave to it. Bye, Charlie.
No,
Tristan
no.
Lutz. See ya, man. Sorry. Joe Gray Jr., your boy. He might be gone, too.
Fine. I don't care about Joe Gray Jr. But Tristan, not Tristan Lutz. Terang and Hira, I'm not moving.
Not at all.
Nope. You're not good enough.
Okay.
If I thought they had a chance to go to the World Series, then I'd say, okay. All right, I can get down with this. But they don't.
So they don't have a chance to go to the World Series.
Baby Tosh, look at the Dodgers and look at you. This isn't about
sure.
the Cubs. This isn't about the Cardinals yeah. or the Reds. I'm not saying they can't be
Throw
in the playoffs.
The Braves in there. The Braves are better than both of those two teams.
But they can. I think they can compete maybe even against the Braves if they figure some stuff out in the second half. They need way too much, I think, to deal with the Dodgers. Way too much, man. I mean, Bueller.
Kershaw,
Ryu,
Hill.
Kershaw.
Ryu.
You could argue Kershaw's the third guy in that rotation right now.
Yeah.
Third.
Oh, definitely.
Who is the Brewers' third guy in our rotation?
Gio Gonzalez?
Stop. But I love people on Twitter. But everybody's overreacting. Oh, it's just June. Have you seen what you got to go through
it's
in the NL?
Just June.
Have you seen what you have to go through
Come
in
on.
The NL?
Don't stop believing.
Burns looked like an elite pitcher last year. Did he not?
Yeah, for sure.
And now he doesn't look like he even belongs here.
No, because he gave up 11 home runs and 4 starts. Goodness gracious.
That's horrible. That's not good. Peralta has shown that he's still inconsistent, and he's not ready for the rotation at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're back to Chase Anderson, Chacin, Zach Davies, Gio Gonzalez.
And whenever Adrian Hauser can help you, he's going to be there. Old number 37, my boy Adrian Hauser. And the best part is Adrian Hauser, I am going to bank on the fact, is not going to throw up on the mound. So there's that.
Who cares? Dude, if he throws up
I don't want to see him throw up.
If he pukes between pitches and they win, do it every start. Don't matter to me at all. Just put a bucket out there next to him and let him go. I don't care. To win the stupid baseball game.
That's true. If they win, I'll be okay.
Oh, put a bucket out there. Put a sponsor on it.
They could put Bovring on it because it is the all-natural choice for the summer.
No, that's a bad look.
It is the all-natural choice for the summer. There's nothing all-natural about Adrian Hauser.
You don't want a puke bucket associated with a beer. That's not a good idea. I don't like that. That's a bad look.
Well, it could just showcase that you can have a whole lot of fun.
There is that,
It could be that you could have a whole lot of fun this summer if you go all-natural with Bovring beer.
All-natural.
It's imported from the country of Luxembourg. Bovring, new to the United States, is being imported exclusively to the state of Wisconsin, guys, by a local company. Bovring is 100% natural and brewed using only the finest raw materials. We're talking about the freshest spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. That spring water is from a special source, a source 1,000 feet beneath the brewery of Bovring. And since water is beer's most important ingredient, beer needs good water, and this exceptionally pure water gives Bovring its fresh taste and smooth drinkability. You'll notice the difference when you drink the crisp Pilsner, the flagship beer, the smooth triple ale, which has 8% alcohol by volume. That could be on the bucket. The balanced brew, which is my personal favorite, but thanks to Bovring's 100% natural ingredients, the commitment to quality, all of its brews give you the full flavor that's refreshing rather than filling. Don't only take my word for it, guys. Bovring available now in more places in Milwaukee than ever before. Go test it out at 6-packs available at Total Wine & More, Sendix Fine Foods, Consumer Beverage, or if you just want to test out a fresh tap, go to Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, and Nomad, or Sport Club. Order a Bovring, and then let me know with your all-natural pictures, hashtag Bovring Bill at Bill Schmidt Radio, and I'll come out and have a Bovring on you. Bovring is Milwaukee's favorite all-natural choice for the summer, and the boys of summer might need a little bit more help. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 414-799-1250, live at 105.7FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen Inbox. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Touch. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here as well. Anthony Mandela, an intern, AmFam, taking your calls at 414-799-1250. Sparky, the award show tonight for the NBA, it'll be on TNT tonight, 8 o'clock, live with Shaq making jokes and that whole inside the NBA crew, letting everybody know who's the MVP and coach of the year and community assist of the year. I believe that's one of the three awards that Chris Middleton is in line for tonight. But is this must-see TV for a Bucks fan? You, as the host of the Pickett State Milwaukee Probes postgame show, just feels weird being so late.
Yeah, I got painting to do tonight, so I may or may not watch it.
You could have it on in the background.
Yeah, I got painting. I got lots of painting. I don't know if I'm going to do it all tonight or not. But
what are we painting? Blue, a white, a couple of different walls?
Well, I've got the kitchen, the living room, the upstairs hallway, the upstairs bathroom, all to do because the drywall tape in my place was coming off the walls from when it was originally put up years
sure.
ago.
So it's not a good thing.
Right. So the landlord had the guy come over and fix it all. So now I got these white marks all over my walls.
Can't do that.
They're marks on the beige walls. And then on the white wall, the white painted walls, it's brown.
Yeah, you should probably paint that, yeah.
Well, I've been looking at it for like a week or two now, so I've got no time. So I was going to try and do some of it tonight. But anyways, nobody cares about that. I think it's a cool deal to at least see the Giannis MVP thing. I think that's probably the coolest
deal.
First
one since 74 in Milwaukee.
I mean, but the other part about it is if you don't see it, I mean, SportsCenter is going to have it. Sure. Everybody, yep. There's going to be video of it everywhere. So if you don't watch it when it happens, it's not a big deal. I'm sure it'll be on Twitter. People will be putting videos up. Everybody will have something up if Giannis wins. It's same with Boonholzer if he wins or Horse for Executive of the Year or whatever the case may be. Is it any bigger of a deal for you than the ESPYs?
No, I don't really care for the ESPYs too much.
Okay.
Outside of when Peyton Manning or John Cena is hosting.
Right.
Or Brett Favre. That'd be amazing. Brett
for
Favre
me,
hosting the
my
ESPYs.
Favorite host on that was Justin Timberlake.
That was good, too. Very good stuff.
But yeah, I mean, from that aspect, yeah, I mean, I'll have it odd if I think of it or whatever the case may be. But am I going out of my way to watch it? Probably not. Probably not going out of my way to watch it, no.
I don't know if any other Bucks fans are like setting a DVR for it tonight.
There's a lot of other stuff that goes on during the course of that show that I really don't care about.
Sure.
I mean, the Giannis MVP thing, I think, is the biggest reason why I would tune in. If they gave me an exact time of, hey, MVP award is at 9:48 Eastern time or 10:48 mm-hmm. Eastern time, then I would make sure to get in front of my TV to see that, and that would be the only thing I would care about, and then I'd go on with the rest of my night. Other than that, I'm not really all into that.
Defensive player of the year, sixth man of the year, most improved
player of the year. Yeah.
And also, I think it's interesting, James Harden will not be in attendance tonight as he is on a promotional trip to China. If anybody was wondering if James Harden thinks that he has a chance, he would not have scheduled a promotions trip to China if he thought that he was going to win the MVP tonight.
I don't think he cares.
I think I'll lock and key that. If anybody cares, it's James Harden.
Think so?
Anybody cares to go walk across the stage and give
the MVP
minute speech about the MVP, it would be James Harden.
You think these guys know already if they won or not?
I think you know if you
right
lost.
Right now, you think Giannis knows?
I think you know if you lost. Yeah, I think Giannis understands that he's clear-cut going to win tonight. I don't think that they've told him, hey, you're going to win, so have your speech prepared.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
But I think Giannis kind of knows that he's won.
So if he doesn't win, in your mind, it's going to be a huge upset.
It would be a huge upset, and it would make me very upset. I already have that money spent. If you don't know, I've been talking about this for quite some time. Giannis opened the year at 5-1 odds to win the MVP in the NBA and immediately went down to like -150. So I got great value, and I've already got that $500 spent. Like, I already know all the loans that I'm going to be able to pay because of Giannis winning the MVP tonight. So if James Harden ends up opening, if they open the envelope and it's James Harden, or goodness gracious, Paul George, I'm going to lose my natural damn mind. And most of my bowels. 414-799-1250.
To watch him explode, folks.
If the NBA award show tonight is must-see TV for Bucks fans, I really don't think so. I can't think it could be. But if it was the day after the finals, then maybe it would have some luster. Or the night before the NBA finals.
But again, you're going to miss those people. Those athletes won't be able to be there if that's a big deal to the NBA at that point. I mean, it can just be the
Like you won't have Steph Curry or something like
right,
that.
Right, it can just be the following Sunday night. It should be on a Sunday night. And the Monday night thing, okay, I guess it's probably better than Sunday night. But to me, it just makes all the sense in the world. The Sunday night after the finals is done, boom, you go, you promote it all throughout the finals broadcast that, hey, next Sunday, boom, 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 or this Sunday, depending on what day of the week it is, this Sunday.
Do you think the NBA knows that they've messed up with this? Because, like, I think everybody can be in agreement that this is poor timing for the NBA. After the NBA draft, 5 days before players are going to start negotiating contracts with new teams.
I would assume they would know that, but I'm not taking anything for granted that they're smart enough to realize that they screwed this whole thing up. No, I'm sure in their mind, this is exactly what they want because everybody's talking about it today, and they think that they'll get huge numbers tonight. And if they get huge numbers tonight with people watching, then in their mind, it's justified and it worked.
Sure, I guess.
If they have nobody watching tonight and the numbers are way down, then I think that's how you realize you screwed something up. If the numbers are way down and there's not a lot of people watching. But as we talked about, what are you going to be watching? Brewers don't play.
No, there's no Brewers. NCIS is on Tuesday nights. Yeah, nothing. Bachelorette tonight, though. You could always go and check out what Hannah's doing.
No. Hey, Wendy's $1.99 kid meals after 4 o'clock. Mom and Dad, it's dinner time. You worked overtime, so you have no time. Story of all of our lives, right? But that doesn't mean you have to cut corners. Wendy's quality kids meals have everything your kids like for just $1.99 after 4 p.m. And now you can get yourself something, too, at participating Wendy's for a limited time. And don't forget your favorite made-to-crave menu just got an upgrade. A chicken upgrade. Just when you thought the made-to-crave menu couldn't get any more delicious, we've got a full lineup of awesome chicken sandwiches joining the ranks, including the avocado BLT sandwich, the salsa bacon chicken sandwich, I'm having that one next, and the barbecue chicken sandwich. Three bold choices packed with flavor. So why settle for basic when you can upgrade with fresh, never frozen beef or tasty premium chicken? Go ahead and satisfy those cravings with any one of Wendy's epic choices.
Hashtag Big Show Tickets at 105.7 FM. The Fan on Twitter is how you get registered for a chance at a pair of Summerfest tickets today. Out of rivals of your favorite team, there was always that one player that was too good to hate. Who was it? Use the hashtag Big Show Tickets at 105.7 FM The Fan. And the Wendy's Big Show continues on the Wendy's on 105.7 FM The Fan. Seven FM, 12:50 AM in the radio.com app. This is the Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6. Appreciate you hanging out, taking us on your ride home each and every day. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. In today, Anthony Mandela on the other side, along with intern AmFam here on the Wendy's Big Show. We'll talk to Seth Everett coming up at 3:48.
Let me make sure this is verified. It's very fine. Portland Trailblazers trading Evan Turner to Atlanta for Kent Bazemore.
That is
according to agent Wojnarowski.
A total complete trade of somebody has to play for the Hawks. Like those are the two
Bazemore contract. Is
those
horrible.
Are two dudes.
Like
Evan
contract.
Turner's contract's not much better.
I agree.
I can tell you that much.
Change
Evan Turner's
scenery
contract
type
is
deal.
Gross, dude.
Right.
But Evan Turner was thinking it was like the 2009 Big Ten tournament when he was playing in was that Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semis.
Yeah,
he went off for like 12 points in 6 minutes of playing time.
Oof.
There we go. Evan Turner news. Not many times you get good Evan Turner news on a Monday in June.
I wonder if Eric Bledsoe is going to be on this team on opening night.
You don't think so?
Just wonder.
It could happen that they are able to find somebody that would take a veteran point guard that can play defense, especially a young team like the Chicago Bulls.
That you just signed.
That you just signed, yeah, for 4 years. If you got a young point guard, you want them to learn alongside a veteran who's going to play a lot of defense, be hard nose. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but yeah, that's me.
Right.
If you can get Patrick Beverley in here, Patrick Beverley's about to win free agency. He's going to get somewhere in the area of $21-22 million.
No chance I'd give him that much money.
No chance. But
nope.
As we talked about with Chris Middleton, the market kind of evens it out.
Patrick Beverley's not hiding the fact that he's trying to get the bag in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to provide for my family, so I'm going whoever gives me the most. I don't care about winning.
Yeah, he said line up.
I'm going to get my money. And, like, I can respect that. Being honest, I'm sitting here trying to horse around and tell me you're playing for a ring or whatever else. You're trying to get paid And that's what it's about for you at the end of the day. Now, you see things like Tobias Harris, and Tobias Harris talks about, yeah, I want to get paid, but also I want to have a chance to win, right? That's really, for Tobias Harris, that's something he's factoring into this whole deal too, depending on where he ends up. If you look at Philadelphia and the 76ers, now again, free agency starts at 6 o'clock on Sunday. 30th is Sunday. So 6 o'clock, well, 5 o'clock Central Time, I guess, 6 o'clock Eastern Time. That's when free agency starts. So then we're really going to get a good idea of who's meeting with who and all this other stuff. But Philly might not get Jimmy Butler back or Tobias Harris back. You could see both of those guys leave, and Philly could be sitting there going, now what? Now we're back to square one again.
And they're going to have to
find... all of a
sudden,
Philly's no longer a threat in the Eastern Conference.
And unless they find another way to play, because you needed two guys that could be perimeter dudes in Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris to make Joel Embiid play the way he did.
Yep.
But he was out on the three-point line so much. So if you want to keep him out there, do you need a big, like a Boogie Cousins to go alongside him? Or do you go and try to flank yourself with shooters? Like, I mean, I know J.J. Redick was 1 year, $20 million there. He's probably $14 million if you want to bring him back. But
yeah, but if you look at J.J. Redick, do you want to be in Philly or do you want to go play for a song and be in L.A. with LeBron
right,
and try and do something
the
there?
Yeah.
And because that's what they're going to try and do in L.A. They're going to try and get a bunch of shooters to go around LeBron and Anthony Davis and see what happens. That's why I say, man, Philadelphia could be in a world of trouble if they lose both their guys. A world of trouble. Because then, look at the Eastern Conference. If Kawhi's back with Toronto, which is just as good a chance as anything else is apparently at this point, the Bucks have their crew all back together again. Boston, yes, they're down guys for sure. But I think they're still better than Philly.
Yeah,
right?
I would agree.
Even without Al Horford, even without Kyrie, I still think they're better with Philly if Philly doesn't have Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler at that
And two
point.
Big first-round picks, too, that That's Boston brought
too.
In. And Carson Edwards, who you and
him.
I both think can be a good pro.
Kid from Purdue. Love him.
Caesars
fan.
Changed their betting odds on Kevin Durant going to the Brooklyn Nets as their new favorite for where KD ends up here in the summer.
Yeah, because...
Fun fact.
But that's because, apparently, the rumor was out last week that the Nets don't want Kyrie unless they get Durant. So, if it's just Kyrie, they may want Kyrie all to themselves. They may not want just Kyrie. So, if it's Kyrie and Durant, then they're good. Billy, what's James Dolan going to do in New York if they go to freaking Brooklyn?
Well, did you just
they
hear?
Go to the Nets over the Knicks?
I love it.
Do you have any idea? You know, and those guys over there, they're spinning it like, we're going to do it the right way. We're going to build through the draft. You got to say that because you're going to lose.
This is what's going to happen.
You're going to lose.
Andre Iguodala was on the crossover earlier today on ESPN, and he goes, look, guys, I'll tell you this. Nobody is going to the Knicks, all right? Sorry. Nobody is going to go play for the Knicks willingly.
They have to sell the team. Dolan has to sell the team. I don't think there's any way around it. If you're any type of Knicks fan, it's like being a Mets fan at this point. You just have to just realize that you're screwed. You do. You just have to realize you're screwed. And it's a hard thing to accept. Being a Mets fan, you've accepted it most of your life. But,
oh, for sure. You've had to.
Right. You just wish you were the Yankees the whole time. But I don't know. That's bad,
it is
bad
gonna
news.
Be, it is going to be rough if you're a Knicks fan.
You're a Knicks
and this
fan
is
and
exactly
Brooklyn
what happened.
Gets both of them. Holy
They just
goodness.
Got a team. And then you're going to get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Who both guys grew up in New York. I mean, 15, 20 minutes away from Madison Square Garden. Should have been dreaming of playing for them.
But instead, you're going to play in the Barclays.
The Barclays Center is a nice place. Beautiful place. SummerSlam's there every year.
Love the lighting.
It's very fun. Very festive. And the best part about Brooklyn is somebody has to play for the Nets. And apparently two guys that are good actually want to play for the Nets.
3 years ago, if I would have told you the Brooklyn Nets are going to get Kyrie and Durant and the Knicks are going to get nobody. You would have laughed hysterically and said there is no chance that's happening.
Well, I would have thought that Jay-Z was still the owner and would have been managing governor of the Brooklyn Nets. That's what I would have expected, not with Roc Nation.
But that's not what it is.
And now he has two clients that both might be playing for the Brooklyn Nets. Interesting how that still lines up, and Jay-Z's still right in the middle of it, huh?
As soon as Kyrie went to him, I said, it's over.
Yeah, it was over. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. We still got three more hours. We're not over in hashtag Big Show Tickets. What rival, the one player on your rival team, was just too good to hate? Your chance at a pair of Summerfest tickets on Twitter at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show here at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.